Welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us today. So it's no surprise that we're a really polarized nation, and that when that polarization expands into politics, less gets done in Lansing and in Washington, all over the country, in fact. And that's particularly true when neither of the political parties has enough of a majority to actually pass legislation. And that's where we find ourselves right now, at the federal level. Neither Democrats nor Republicans can get much done in Washington because the two parties disagree on so much and the chambers are now divided. After the midterm elections, Republicans now run the House of Representatives and Democrats still run the Senate. But what does that mean for those who go to work every day in Washington trying to represent us here in Michigan? What are our senators and Congress members up to now that there's less momentum behind President Biden's agenda, which really had quite a bit going in the first 2 years of his presidency? A little later in the hour, we are going to talk about why Wayne County's residents have really, really poor health outcomes and how that fact is connected to the area's poverty. Wayne County Health Director Dr. Abdul El Sayed is going to join us to talk about that. But before we get there, we want to talk about what Democratic Senator Gary Peters has been up to while serving in a divided Congress. What kind of things is he working on to get passed? And what kind of funding has he been able to appropriate for the state of Michigan? It's really great, Gary, to have you back here with us on Detroit Today. Welcome to the show.
Steve, always a pleasure to be with you. Hope all is well.
Yes, I hope what's well with you too. So you're not a stranger to the idea of divided government. I feel like most of the time you've been in Washington, that's been the case. But Congress does look really different this term than it did in the last because of the election. So tell me about what that looks like and what the agenda can look like now, because it's a little harder to get things that both parties are going to agree on.
Well, there's no question things are different now in this session than they were last session. You know, last the 2 years, we had a majority in the House, a Democratic majority in the House and in the Senate, although as narrow as it could be in the Senate at 50-50. And the reason we had the majority was that the vice president cast the tie-breaking vote. So it was very narrow, including just a few seats in the House. But the legislative accomplishments were significant over those 2 years, from infrastructure to CHIPS to dealing with first meaningful legislation on gun safety. So a lot was done during that time. It's going to be more complicated now with the Republicans in the majority in the House, as you mentioned in the opening. And I think it's even more complicated because there is a good number of very, very conservative members of the Republican Party that have been elected and have been controlling a lot of what's happening over in the House. But, you know, I'm still hopeful that we'll get things done. I always work in a bipartisan way. And even when I was in the minority, I had more of my bills passed than any senator in the Senate, whether a Democrat or Republican. And that has not happened for over 50 years that a minority member actually was able to do that. So I'm certainly hopeful that we'll be able to get meaningful things done. And in fact, today we're debating a bill that I authored to provide grants for firefighters and emergency personnel in firefighting stations. Mm-hmm. It's bipartisan. We're debating some amendments later today. We're hoping to get it passed tomorrow, and then off to the House to get passed, and then to the president's desk. And so we are working to get things done. And certainly, these firefighting grants are incredibly important for so many of our departments across the state.
Yeah, I want to come back and talk specifically about that Fire Grants and Safety Act. But before we get there, I do want to get your reaction to the Republican House plan to raise the debt ceiling. They say that, look, they might be willing to do it for a year if certain other requirements are met. There's a lot of stuff that they're asking for. What's your reaction to it?
Well, first off, just kicking the can down the street for a year is unacceptable. The fact that you have a potential default of that's what we're talking about, a potential default on bonds from the United States is unacceptable. The financial markets want to have certainty. They want to know that the United States government actually pays its bills and it doesn't default. And to use default as a leverage is incredibly dangerous for the economy. If there's a default, you'll see cost will go up, retirement accounts will be hit dramatically. This will hurt people all across the country. Default should not be a negotiating chip. We should make sure that we have a long runway so that people don't have to worry about that. But then certainly we have to look at how we spend money wisely, looking at reducing the deficit. We have put forward a plan. President Biden put forward a very, very comprehensive budget for what he wants to see happen over the next year or two. We need to see that from the Republicans. They have not put any kind of comprehensive plan. And if you're going to negotiate, you need to know what both sides want, and then you try to find common ground and sort out differences. But put on the table what you're actually proposing. We're not seeing that from the Republicans.
Some of what they're talking about, though, is about, you know, spending and things that they would pull back or claw back. One of them is unspent COVID funds, which I don't know if that seems, you know, like an agreeable point to sort of start with. But is there anything that you saw in their plan that seemed like, I guess, a rallying point for negotiation about how to get this done?
Yeah, I think we're still reviewing exactly what they have in there. They don't have a whole lot in there.
Yeah,
there's going to be more that they're going to want. So my view is at this point, before you start negotiating, is put on the table everything you want to do, and then, you know, certainly we've put everything on the table. Have them do the same thing, and let's then figure out the direction that this country should go and see where people are on both sides. That's not happening right now. It's frustrating. And so then do you have offer? Will it just kick the can down the road for a year? That's not acceptable. And certainly that's not the way to run a business or a government.
Yeah. I'm talking with U.S. Senator Kerry Peters. He's a Democrat from right here in Michigan. We're talking about the new Congress in Washington after the midterm elections, split government again. Republicans control the House of Representatives. Democrats have that narrow majority in the Senate because the vice president is the president of the Senate and gets to cast a vote. If there's a tie, there are 50 senators from each party. We're talking about what can get done in the next 2 years. With that divided state of government. We'd love to hear from you during the conversation as well. Give us a call and let us know if you have questions for Senator Peters about his policy and political priorities. Do you wonder what can get accomplished in a divided Congress? And what do you think about the debt ceiling negotiations, which are going to heat up early this summer between the two parties and the White House about whether to pay the debts that we've already accumulated here in the United States? 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll include you in the conversation. Gary, I want to talk a little more about this Fire Grants and Safety Act. You're one of the sponsors of that. You say it's got bipartisan support. Talk about what it would do.
Well, it basically extends fire grants that are currently available for fire departments, but that authorization ends this year. These are grants that are used by departments all across the Detroit area, all across the Michigan, to supplement the equipment needs for firefighters, as well as hire firefighters. And one thing about firefighting equipment, it is incredibly expensive, but it's is necessary for firefighters to fight fires safely, for EMS folks to protect their citizens. And these grants help provide resources, particularly to smaller fire departments. And, you know, just an example, as I've traveled around, things like Jaws of Life, which are tool to make sure you can get somebody out of a car after a car crash and it crumples and they can be trapped, a very dangerous situation. But that piece of equipment can cost $60,000-$70,000. Mm-hmm. If you're a very large fire department, you can probably find places in your budget for that because it's important. But if you're a small fire department, that's usually not something that you can afford. And these federal grants allow you to do that because even in small communities, people get in car accidents and people need life-saving equipment to help them. And this is a way to help those communities that may not have the resources to have some of the critical equipment necessary.
Yeah. I want to get to a couple of calls, and then I know you're going to have to run. But I also wonder what you make of the debate about gun legislation in Washington. President Biden is urging members of Congress to ban assault weapons again. I know you're someone who has kind of a moderate stance on gun legislation. You're someone who respects the Second Amendment but believes we can do more. What do you think about banning assault weapons or doing some other things at the federal level?
Well, I support that. I've supported, but you're right. I believe in the Second Amendment. I'm a gun owner myself and enjoy hunting. But there are common sense things that we can do and we must do, particularly after the just ongoing tragic shootings that we're seeing, mass shootings. But just the fact that every day in America, nearly 100 people die of gun violence every single day. Unfortunately, today that will be probably around 100 people. Tomorrow again and again the next day. It's simply unacceptable. So I am working hard to try to get those laws changed. It's difficult. And you talked about the change in the legislature. Having Republicans in control of the House probably makes it next to impossible to think we can have common sense gun safety legislation. When I say common sense, just closing loopholes that exist in background checks. A large majority of weapons today are sold through these loopholes without any kind of background checks. We know by closing those loopholes, lives will be saved. We also know that 90% of the American people believe that those loopholes should be closed. And interestingly enough, we also know about 70% of NRA members think that that's common sense and mm-hmm. should be done. And yet I can't get Republican lawmakers to vote on something as common sense as that. People need to remember that come election time.
Yeah, yeah. I want to take one quick call before we have to let you go, Senator. Sam in Detroit, go ahead.
How you doing, man? And Senator, good morning. Thank you for your efforts serving the people from Michigan, especially. I wanted to see what is your position about the plan that's supposed to take place about replacing the Michigan Work staff to the unemployment agency, insurance agency, to take over the services provided to Michiganders through the American Job Center, and how far you are siding with the negative impact of these changes.
Sam, really great question. I'm glad you called. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the question. You can help me, Steve.
I think he's asking about changes to the unemployment insurance agency here in Michigan, and probably referring to some of the problems that we had with those disbursements in recent years. I think there are some workforce changes that are taking place there.
Well, you know, I'd have to look at that. I mean, the unemployment system is run by the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that is done at the state level. Certainly, we have to make sure that any payments that are made are being made accurately and deal with fraud. There was a lot of fraud in the unemployment system, particularly during the pandemic when a lot of folks were applying for it. The systems were not designed for the number of people that suddenly found themselves unemployed during the pandemic. So there were all of the computer systems, and which were fairly archaic, were overwhelmed. And as a result of that, the disbursements were made that should not have been made. Mm-hmm. We have provided resources to states to try to upgrade their computer systems and the way that they can track that, which is going to be important. For us to do to make sure that only those who are entitled to unemployment insurance actually receive that money.
Yeah. A quick question before I let you go. Hunter in Detroit wants to know if you support getting rid of the debt ceiling statute as a solution to this constant wrangling over it.
Yeah, when you think about it, I think we're the only government, with exception of there's one somewhere out there that also has a debt limit ceiling. It's unusual. for any government to do that, because our government say, if we spend money, then you can count on us to actually pay. Mm-hmm. We will not default on our debt. And the fact that we actually have to have a vote to determine whether or not we default on debt that we have already incurred is really unusual. And it creates these kinds of situations where are really potentially damaging to the economy. And they're basically self-inflicted wounds. In my mind, you should never debate whether or not we're going to pay the bills that we have already spent. It would be like in your household, you go out and you spend some money and the bill comes to you in the mailbox and you say, you know, I'm not going to pay that. I'm going to default.
Yeah.
We don't let individuals do that. We should definitely not let the United States government do that.
Yeah. Okay. Gary Peters, a Democratic senator from here in Michigan. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for coming by today. We will see you soon, I hope, here on Detroit Today.
Sounds great, Steve. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about politics, but shift over to Wayne County. Talk about why so many of us who are living here have such poor health outcomes. Abdul El-Sayed, who is the new Wayne County Health Director, will join us. We'll also want to hear from you on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019. And you can go to Twitter and hashtag us. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.